going to open our Rules Committee today. We have one bill, and we're going to open a work session on 3313, and I'll have our administrator give a short explanation of the Amendment 22.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. House Bill 3313, the Dash 22 Amendment, replaces the original measure. It makes the following amendments to Sections 3, 4, 5, and 9 of House Bill 2228 for the 2009 session. It extends from 90 days to 1 year the time limit for the owner of a Metolius resort to notify the Department of Land Conservation and Development of an election to seek approval for a small-scale recreational community, and from 2 years to 3 years the time limit for applying to a county for approval of the same. Specifies that a small-scale recreational community authorized under House Bill 2228 must be sited on land that is either planned and zoned for forest use or rural and not subject to statewide land use planning goals relating to agricultural lands or forest lands. It increases from 200 to 320 acres, the maximum size for a tract on which a small-scale recreational community under House Bill 2228 may be formed. It specifies that if the development standards of the county are dependent on the zoning of the site, the county shall apply the development standards for the county's most dense rural residential zone as opposed to an urban residential zone with the highest population density. Modifies the definition of the Southern Conservation Tract from Section 3 of House Bill 2229 and expands the list of types of development allowed in the Skyline Forest Sustainable Development Area. Finally, it adds an emergency clause.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to invite Representative Clem up to walk us through that again as well, because we haven't had this for a long time, so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from House District 21 here in Salem. I think there was one bill number used, House Bill 2229. It referred to it's 2228 that has the southern tract. That the other one's a big look, but I didn't want people thinking I was dragging that into this. So the Dash 22 amendments, as indicated, increased the time with which the an owner of a Metolius resort site has to notify the department that they are electing to seek approval of a small-scale recreation community from a county. Then it increases the time that they have to apply to the county. So it's from 90 days to 1 year. It was 90 days in 2228, now it would be 1 year. It is 2 years in the bill currently that's awaiting signature to apply to a county. This would be 3 years. The resort acreage that could be consumed is limited to 200, so 240 home sites on 200 acres. This would instead be 240 home sites on 320 acres, which matches more closely the sending area, at least in one of the cases. Another type of land that it could be built on, so it's still the rural unemployment test, and in the original bill, 2228, it says, and then lands planned and zoned for forest use. This also has the rural unemployment test. In addition, rural lands not subject to statewide land use planning goals relating to agricultural lands and forest lands. And Representative Greiber, these are sort of commonly thought of as exception lands, but not exceptions to those particular goals, other types of exception lands. And then the in 2228 now it has the term urban density. If development standards of the county are dependent on the zoning on the site, the county shall apply urban residential zone density. That's in 2228. This would change it to a rural residential zone density with the highest population density in a rural zone. So that would allow for not quite as dense a project, but still in the same 320-acre footprint. And then there's a couple technical amendments to 2228 that have to do with making the Skyline Forest work. There was a kind of an error where at one point it said the Deschutes Land Trust was going to have the right of last opportunity to purchase the Skyline Forest. That should have been first. And there was a 15-year window for this transfer development right on the Skyline Forest, and that should have been 10. And all the parties have written me, and I think the chair, an email saying that they've all agreed on that. And these figures that are in here, I had spoken with Mr. Keene briefly maybe 3 weeks ago, and I said, hey, I just want to make sure this works. I know we're not going to agree on the other issue, but and he had given me these numbers included in here. And I intended to make them in 2228, and I ran out of time the last day before it moved. And so the chair was gracious enough to say, I've got a bill, and let's have these considered in this context.
Any questions? Oh, Representative Grard.
Representative, can you explain exactly what you're doing to the Skyline Conservation Tract? I mean, what your intent is with this bill?
So in 2228, what the bill does is just big picture, even in 2228. So this is just technical tweaks to 2228. What 2228 does is allows for something currently not available in land use law in Oregon, a transfer of development rights where the Fidelity, the landowner Fidelity, transfers their development rights that are spread out over three forests, basically all over the place on 240 acres, transfers them to one clustered development in the northwest corner from three different tracts, the Skyline Forest and then two tracts down, one in the northern part of Klamath County and one right over the border in the southern part of Deschutes County. And so the home site rights are lifted from there and all placed in this one sustainable development area in the northwest corner of the Skyline Forest, kind of on the backside, I guess, of a hill that has beautiful views of the Cascade Range, but it is not visible to the community of Bend, and then makes available to either the Deschutes Land Trust in the case of Skyline Forest or the Deschutes Land Trust or state and federal agencies, if they want to, purchase of these other tracts from the timber company. But the housing rights would have been removed. So, you know, if a timber company wants to continue to keep it in working forest, they could if no one of those parties did not purchase it. But I know it's the intent of the Deschutes Land Trust to purchase the Skyline Forest and attempt to purchase the other ones if they can raise the money.
Further questions? Seeing none, thank you for coming up. And we, as soon as Clarice wants to talk to these amendments, we would love to have her come up. Or at least I would. I'm not.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Hasina Squires on behalf of the Metolian, the Eco Resort, the Dutch Pacific Resources. Appreciate the opportunity to just clarify a few things. The first thing that I'd like to clarify is many of you have heard from me regarding the Dash 14 amendment that was prepared on Friday and how it had been characterized that the Dash 14 amendment was better for us and that it would be a positive thing for us. And a lot of you asked, why is that not the case? What I'm distributing to you is a memo outlining why the Dash 14, and I know you're not considering the Dash 14, I think it's important to get it on the record, why the Dash 14 is not a positive thing for us. On page 2, lines 25 through 26, because a lot of other people are probably watching and wondering why the Dash 14s weren't good. Lines 25 and 26 contain a provision that required the receiving site for us to be transferring to be located, to be subject to a goal exception. And that's very rare land, and it's not something that would work for us. So the Dash 14 amendment would actually have been worse for us than House Bill 2228, and I would continue to maintain that, as I indicated on Friday to many of you. The Dash 22 amendments are better than House Bill 2228 as it sits. They're better than the Dash 14 amendments. The Dash 26 amendments are the amendments that we would prefer that we have advanced to you. To explain to you a little bit why the Metolian is being treated differently than these other pilot projects and other pilot programs, if the goal is truly of the legislature to replicate the Metolian's vision and idea and concept on another piece of property, we believe that special sort of case scenario exists for us versus other transferable development rights that may be contained in House Bill 2228, and that is why we are asking for separate things outside of other property owners. in order for us to be able to attract the type of visitor that we need to be able to market, build, and have a sustainable eco-resort, we're sort of targeting the non-traditional type of resort visitor. Probably not the type of resort that I would go to, and if Mr. Keene were here with me today or Mr. Lundgren, they would probably accept that because I'm more of a traditional type of resort person, and though I like the outdoors, it's not. I don't get a kick out of hiking the Pacific Crest Trail like Jim Keene does. So what we're looking for is the type of visitor that would want to visit something that has sort of a year-round opportunity, year-round recreational opportunities, things like skiing, biking, hiking, sort of the Alps type of model. And with the Dash 22 amendments, we believe we're going to have a difficult time in locating that type of project in a county that will meet sort of that outdoor visitor criteria. And so that's one of our things that we're concerned about with the 22s. It's important for us to have a very good location, proximity location to Eugene, Medford, Portland, to get that sort of eco thing that we're trying not to do to make people drive all the way over to Malheur County, and where we could easily accommodate. Our original vision was to take people from Portland over to the Camp Sherman area in large buses, and so reduce the carbon footprint. The type of person that is likely, the type of demographic that we're looking for is probably not the type of person that, with no offense to Representative Bench if he's listening, that would like to go to Malheur County. I mean, really? That's not what all of our $3.8 million in planning has shown, is that people don't want to drive to Malheur County for a resort. So our amendment would make changes to that portion of Representative Clem's amendment. So Representative Clem accurately characterized this conversation with my client in requesting the things that are in Representative Clem's amendment. We also requested a number of things that are not in Representative Clem's amendment, and I'd like to just focus on the three things. There are more, but three things that actually are in the Dash 26 amendments that are not in the Dash 22 amendments, and why we would like the Dash 26 as advanced. The Dash 26 amendments, on page 2, I'll start with the Dash 22 amendments. It'll be easier. The Dash 22 amendments on page 2, lines 17 through 26, requires us to go to certain counties. Only allows us to locate in certain counties with 110% population. And that's something that Representative Clem and I had discussions about early on, about locating in a county who actually could use it and could need it and has an unemployment problem. We would appreciate that being removed, and the Dash 26s do that. Furthermore, on page 3, line 25, the number of units that we would be able to develop are limited to 240. We had requested 627. We have 627 acres, and that's why the 627 number. And then finally, the primary on page 3, line 26, this issue of the ratio of overnight accommodations to permanent residential dwelling. The Dash 22 amendments would keep and retain the provision in the bill of House Bill 2228 that require the primary purpose of overnight accommodations to be the primary purpose to be for overnight accommodation. So is that 50%? It doesn't say exactly what it is, but we would prefer the 2-to-1 ratio that currently exists in the destination resort statute, and also that is what the final change in the Dash 26 amendments.
Any questions for this witness? Seeing none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair. It is my understanding that the only amendments you're accepting are the 22 amendments. What about the Dash 12 amendments?
At this particular time, I'm not going to take the 12 either.
And do the Dash 22 amendments replace the entire bill?
They do. So, Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 22 amendments into House Bill 3313. With the understanding that the chair is not willing to move the original bill as it stands.
Yep. So it would replace the original bill. So Representative Edwards moves the dash 22 amendments to House Bill 3313. Is there any discussion? Representative Burrard.
Mr. Chair, as complicated as land use laws are, there's no way, without at least having House Bill 2228, to sit here for a couple of hours and go back and forth and see what this bill actually does. Nobody at this dais can know what this does. So I'll be a no on the amendment and the bill.
Thanks, sir. Any other discussion? So we'll take a roll call vote on the amendment.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Excused.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roland?
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill... No. Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 3313 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Representative Edwards moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 3313 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. Undebatable. So is there any objection to that? Just for one. Okay. So the motion passes. And next?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommend. Excuse me, I have to move to...
Yeah, to Ways and Means.
To Ways and Means, excuse me.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Edwards moves House Bill 3313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. We have a letter of that sent from the Speaker. Is there any discussion? Representative Burrard.
What a surprise. Mr. Chair, just a comment. I would hope that members of this committee who are not that familiar with land use will vote no on this bill until they understand what they're voting for.
Thanks, sir. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nolan.
I have some familiarity with land use, and I think this is a good bill. It improves the situation for property owners and for business development, given the actions that the House took this morning.
Any further discussion?
There goes your environmental vote.
Then we'll take a roll call vote.
So that means you're voting yes?
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Excused.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roland?
Aye. Motion passes, and it will be sent off to Ways and Means.
Carrier?
Under the carrier. So we'll close our work session on House Bill 3313. And is there anything else, discussion or whatever? I see nothing. We're going to close our rules meeting for today.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, are we scheduled for tomorrow?
Currently not. Hold your horses.